Hey, highly underrated comedians, David Spade and Norm Macdonald.
I'm doing well. I'm Steve McDowell from More Insights and Strategy. Where am I?
I'm Matt Kimball with More Insights and Strategy, and I guess I'm an analyst as well.
So we're here to talk about VMworld, which just wrapped up in San Francisco.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful time, beautiful week in the city, don't you think, Matty?
Oh, man, it was beautiful. From what I hear, I followed VMworld virtually. I did not travel out this year.
You should have, because I will tell you, and I know this is one of your things at conferences, they had their coffee game on, man. They had Pete's Coffee there, which is...
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal, and it's so much better than what we get at the Sands Convention Center in Las Vegas. I'm sorry, Sands, but...
Yeah,
Pete's coffee is pretty good
for
bulk coffee.
Yeah,
and they had their, and you wouldn't have missed this, their tables of starches and carbohydrates.
I wouldn't have missed that as much, but I get you. I mean, Pete's is it? Aren't they a San Francisco based company? In fact,
Pete's is. Yeah,
yeah. So that's good. And you know what? You're right. It's a big part of the, as an analyst, it's a big part of the conference because you're running around so much and you need that kick.
You do. And on the last day they had a table of donuts, and my wife is listening to me record this. I can't tell you how many I ate, but
none. You had none.
It was a non-zero number.
They looked delicious though, didn't they?
Oh, they sure did. They looked delicious.
Any sourdough toast?
I did not eat any sourdough. Can we talk about the conference?
Well, this is part of the conference, isn't it? The amenities?
I will say that the analyst and press lounge was up on the top floor of Moscone, which I'd never been to. And they have a balcony with tables, and you can walk out and overlook the lessers walking around the street with their black badges. And
the lessers.
The ones paying for their donuts.
Oh, that's funny. That's funny. VMworld is one of those conferences that, you know, I remember when it first started and how small it was. It is, and it's incredible how much it's grown. But more incredible still is the fact that it's still a conference dedicated to one company. I mean, other companies, you know, demonstrate and display there, but it's all in support of that VMware ecosystem. It's crazy.
It is crazy, and I don't know how much bigger they can get. I remember in 2006, right? So 13 years ago, I was actually on a keynote panel at VMworld with Tom Bradish, who HPE now, Dr. Tom, he was at IBM at the time. We were doing blade server stuff.
Yep.
And I remember thinking, I was intimidated by this crowd of 3,000 people. I'm like, holy cow. And now they're in excess of 15,000 attendees.
Yeah.
Michael Dell said they had 8,000 people from partner groups there.
Isn't that incredible?
It's an insane number of people. And you and I have talked about this. I liken it to, you know, if you look at Microsoft in their heyday, they would throw these conferences, and those were the industry events, right? And they would do a couple. They would do like WinHack for the technology crowd and tech ed for the other crowds.
Yep.
And that's where you went to learn about IT and how to manage IT.
Yep. And
at some point while nobody was looking, while Steve Ballmer was throwing chairs, VMworld became the operating system for the enterprise, for the server world. And now this is where people flock. I mean, the show floor had hundreds of exhibition booths, right?
Yeah.
There were thousands of technical sessions. They took up all four buildings at Moscone and some of the hotels, right? Most of the analyst stuff was done over in the W Hotel.
Yeah. It's incredible. You know, I think back to, you know, you and I are the old guys probably on this podcast compared to the listeners. But I think back to the early days of, you know, network world and Interop, NetWorld Interop, well, before NetWorld, Networks Expo broke off, NetWorld Interop, and those shows, those industry shows that would bring in about as many people, but they were dedicated to the IT industry, not to a specific technology. And I think even...
When I,
I think even the tech eds in their, you know, their heydays, I don't think they ever reached, you know, the size of VMworld. It's absolutely incredible.
But I look at VMworld not as, I don't view it as a VMware technology.
It's not, yeah.
Necessarily. Right.
Yeah.
Right. I think it's VMware has become such an intrinsic part of the infrastructure, no matter what you're doing, whether it's software defined networking,
yep.
cloud, server, whatever. Even, you know, there's some HCI guys, they're not selling anything but ESX as part of their bundled solution.
Yep.
It's such an intrinsic part of the infrastructure that everything touches it. And VMworld has become ground zero for where I, as an IT guy, go to figure out how to do IT.
Yeah.
Because, you know, VMware is just there.
You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. It is transitioned from a you know, a VMware only show to a broader kind of industry event. But that's what's so fascinating about it, right? I mean, because who does that benefit in the end, right? It's still VMware, right? It's still quote unquote their show, which is awesome.
It is. And you go to the show floor and it's funny because you'll see their competitors down there, right? Nutanix is there. Nutanix threw a big party over at the museum.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, it's you know, all boats, you know, are floating, whatever the metaphor.
You know, but that's it's interesting though, because that's one of the things I find interesting. And as we talk about, you know, what did VMware talk about, and what were the big takeaways? I mean, one of the big takeaways I took about was, and that I'm amazed by, is VMware's ability, and I guess it's a testament to their kind of their gravity in the data center, but their ability to maintain absolute relevance as the infrastructure company in a world where, you know, virtualization is an afterthought and you know, it's just table stakes and almost commoditized, and everything is about containers in the cloud, right? Technologies that you think would go against VMware's main, you know, kind of product, if you will, in ESX, they have found a way to keep it as the core technology piece and foundational technology piece to the world that has moved beyond virtualization.
Right. So I spent 40 hours and 3 days at VMworld. I don't think I heard the word virtualization a single time. Mm-hmm. And we were in the, one of the great perks, and we say this every time we go to a show, of doing a Dell thing, is the analysts get some FaceTime with Michael Dell and Pat Gelsinger. Mm-hmm. Somebody, it was not me, asked Pat, he says, you're called VMware, but that whole V thing is kind of obsolete.
Yeah.
And Pat says, yeah, we're focused on the where side.
That's pretty good, though.
And it really is, because if you look at what VMware focuses on, it's not about any individual technology, right? You were talking containers and this and that. And you know, those will have their moment and be replaced by something else. What VMware wants to be is they want to be kind of your common data and management plane for your infrastructure. And that infrastructure now, to use Dell's great tagline, is edge to core to cloud.
Yep.
And if you want a seamless management experience and be able to, you know, partition storage and compute and allocate that across those kind of three areas, you need something like VMware cells. And they're now your operating system for your infrastructure,
yes,
as well as kind of your management plane.
I think you hit it.
And everything else just kind of supports that vision.
Yeah, and you're right. You know, on the technology evolution timeline, if you will, you know, you see it both from a hardware and a software and an infrastructure perspective. This kind of, you know, there is always a disruptive technology that that ends up kind of, you know, becoming an inflection point, and eventually a technology becomes mainstream. And you're right, Kubernetes or containers is really just, it's the next kind of next phase of, if you will, of the evolution cycle, and it will be replaced. But VMware's ability to pivot from what was that disruptive technology and the main player into the enabler of all of these disruptive technologies is just, I think it's brilliant.
Well, and what's also brilliant is I don't want to put all this at Michael Dell's feet, right? Because he surrounded himself with some very smart men, you know, Pat Gelsinger and, you know,
Jeff Clark on the hardware side.
Yeah. Jeff Clark over on the system side. These guys are smart, right? We looked at containers. We say it's starting to get a little bit of traction. We have some interesting stuff here. We don't know if it's a distraction for VMware or not. So let's spin out PKS and let's go build that market, right? And they do that and the market materializes. You know, I don't know how well PKS did or didn't do. Honestly, I didn't follow them that closely. But there's something there from an IT wants this perspective. So let's pull it back. By the way, let's do that the week before VMware or VMworld. So now I have an intrinsic container story because containers are how everybody's doing compute now.
You know, I think there's a if you kind of up-level this from to some degree, I think this speaks to, and we've hit on this before, but that the culture and the approach that Dell Technologies and it takes to the market. And it is, I'm not going to say it's bled into VMware because I believe it's that this culture has been at VMware all along, but it's a pragmatic approach to the market, right? There are a lot of tech companies out there that rely on their tech savviness, their engineering savviness, and become so enamored with their own technology that they forget that maybe they're moving at a different pace and at a different vector than what the IT community is moving. Whereas I think,
oh, for sure,
right? And I think Dell Technologies does an amazing job of assuring an alignment between their strategy and their product rollouts, and not even necessarily product rollouts, but services and other rollouts that align very well to where the IT consumer is today and where they might be in the short term.
Yeah, and there's been a very happy confluence of personalities, right? You mentioned Jeff Clark earlier, mm-hmm. who is, you know, essentially Michael Dell's number two guy. He runs what we traditionally think about as Dell EMC, mm-hmm. for all practical purposes. And we know Jeff from a long time. And he is just a heads down, very focused execution machine, right? And then Pat comes in with kind of an energy and a strategic vision for, you know, the non-hardware piece of the world, even though, you know, he came out of Intel, right? And then you have Michael Dell, who is just sitting back saying, I'm going to let these guys give me the best options. And then he puts them together. 4 years ago, when Dell bought EMC, right? It was all about the storage. That's how we covered it. And VMware was kind of a, well, that's a nice thing to have in your portfolio, but man, these guys are going to be a storage monster. And they are a storage monster, but that's not where the story and the growth are.
Yeah.
Right? They bought EMC to get VMware. Now, I don't know if that's what he was thinking. You know,
but that was
everybody looks brilliant and they're successful. But man, what Michael's done with EMC and VMware, I can't think of a parallel story in the tech industry.
No, you're right. But you know, and again, though, this speaks to taking a more, you know, kind of measured view of the market. Right. And I think when you look at what they're doing, that acquisition and not just kind of what they got out of that acquisition, but what it enables them to do from a just deliver these boxes that kind of, you know, you talked about Pat Gelsinger talking about, you know, what they're doing, some of the services they're offering, you know, kind of keeps just, it speaks to the IT community of don't worry about the technology. This is just, it's the, you know, easy button for delivering services, right? I think when you look at what they're able to do with that merger or that acquisition of EMC, and by way of that, you know, kind of the stake in VMware, is they have all of the pieces that allows them to become a provider of solutions to IT without getting so burdened in the, you know, let's talk about how you deploy and develop and manage containers, right? That is you. When you start speaking to that language, you go below the level that an IT admin, an IT pro is interested in. They can be that easy button for IT because of all these acquisitions and all of the work they do on the back end to all that very hard work they do on the back end to make it very consumable for IT. You know, think back to when they first launched the PC, right? And kind of how they dumbed down, if you will, which, and that's, I hate that word, but you know, they made the PC and the PC experience, buying PC experience, very easy for consumers. They're doing a lot of that for IT services. They're consumerizing it for IT organizations that have to focus on things beyond technology.
I think you're right. And keeping VMware as a separate entity from Dell allows them to go off and do, you know, what they need to do with the other OEMs of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, I say that a little hesitantly, yeah. Right? I think that was true. The word and a half that I think that's terrifying everybody right now, and I tweeted this out yesterday, is co-developed. Mm-hmm. You did not see Pat without Michael by his side. And we talked about this at Dell Tech World. You did not see Jeff Clark without Pat by
that's
his
correct.
Side.
Yep.
You guys are a yep. unit, right? And, you know, 3 years from now, maybe it's all one big company, or maybe there are some strategic advantages to keep them separate. I don't think it matters because these guys are doing everything together.
Hey, there's what we say and what we do, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Right. And then, you know, I think that's opening the door. You know, I don't think it's an accident that HPE is buddying up really closely with Nutanix right now. Yeah. Right. Because Dell is off doing things that are going to give Dell value with VMware. And, you know, this is not a market where antitrust is going to come into play. This is just, we're going to outcompete you. And, oh, by the way, we have technology that everybody uses.
Yeah, speaking of that, you bring HPE in. I thought it was interesting that, you know, you had two announcements this week that kind of speak to some of the relationship versus the quote-unquote co-develop, right? You had HPE's announcement about VCF being on Synergy, being provided via GreenLake, you know, on a kind of as-a-service basis. So consumption-based cloud, if you will. And then you had the announcement from Dell Technologies around VMware Cloud running, you know, DC data center as a service being provided through VMware Cloud and Dell Technologies technology. It's another one.
They're calling it Dell Technologies Cloud, which contains services, operations, and infrastructure, but it's enabled by VMware Cloud.
Right. So you have this is a good example of where you have the partnership versus the co-development. And I think it in the short term, this plays well for both companies. But, you know, I can just imagine the developers and engineers sitting in the architects sitting in a back room at, you know, either in Round Rock or out in, I forget, are they in Mountain View, VMware? Anyway, Palo Alto. But yeah, I can just see them sitting in the back room thinking about, man, how can we optimize? How can we make this better together, right? The 1+1=3, because you have to think there are opportunities there that they're going to at some point kind of exploit if they haven't fully exploited them yet.
Oh yeah. And if you tease this apart a little bit, I'm looking at their briefing deck that they gave us on the announcements, and they draw a picture where they show VMware Cloud Foundation, wrapped around what they're calling their Dell Technologies partner clouds, and their Dell Technology partner clouds are AWS, Azure, Google. But if you look at this picture from VMware's perspective, which is, I'm going to wrap the public cloud and give you a set of interfaces that you can now go and you know, manage regardless of what your on-site infrastructure is. That's a beautiful thing, right? And by the way, it's better together with Dell EMC, but it's also open to everybody else. Pat Gelsinger put through a statistic out, which I think caught the room by surprise when he did this. And this was a room of, you know, 65 analysts. He says, with our VMware is powering, whatever this means, just over 10 million cloud workloads. He says, that makes us a bigger cloud player than Azure. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
And you know... Yeah. So AWS and Azure and Google Cloud, these guys all stepped up and said, we'll give you infrastructure as a service. And I think they do that, right? I can get virtual disk and CPUs all day long. But if I'm used to managing my data center, it's more workload centric, right? And that's where the public cloud players are not really delivering a lot of solutions.
Yeah.
Certainly not at the level that VMware does. So that's their opportunity, and they saw that and they drove right through it. And you know, they have enough momentum at their back. I don't know anything Amazon or Azure is going to do to not let VMware manage their clouds and hybrid cloud.
Well, this is another area where I think you know, and I talk about, you know, we talked about you know, kind of Dell being very pragmatic in their approach and VMware as well. I mean, this is another area where VMware was really smart, right? I mean, they could have, like a lot of companies, said, you know what, Microsoft has Azure, Amazon has AWS, Google has GCP. We're going to create, you know, some play in there to compete with these guys. And rather than do that, you know, they treated it as an opportunity to partner. And in the end, you know, you just, that's an amazing statistic, right? Through this partnership of not competing with these guys, but actually working with them, partnering with them, we have quietly become, you know, one of the largest cloud providers in the world. That's pretty cool. Pretty crazy too, right?
It really is. Oh yeah, for sure. So let's talk, I guess, I don't know if I want to talk about announcements or not. All the announcements that they released at VMworld, at least the Dell Tech and its umbrella of companies announced, were all related to hybrid cloud, multi-cloud. What? Tell me, Matt, what they announced?
So
they announced, you had talked about HPE, the VCF announcements.
Yeah.
Dell had similar announcements. What are they doing with Azure?
So this is the one you and I were talking about earlier. I want to, before we start recruiting, I want to touch on a little bit. And that's the, you know, Dell for a long time. So they announced data center as a service, right? Which is, we just hit on the details of it a couple of seconds ago. But what I find fascinating about, I think I'm being a little bit too exaggerated, but what I find interesting is, again, going back to being pragmatic versus kind of just going all out. When you look at Dell over the last year, I know I have, and other analysts have talked about how, you know, from an as a service consumption-based computing, they've kind of trailed HPE with GreenLake. And, you know, in February, when Lenovo announced TruScale, it kind of even put a bigger spotlight or a bigger lack of spotlight on Dell's lack of product offerings when it comes to as a service. I think their, you know, data center as a service solution or offering with VMware is the first step, kind of a pragmatic approach to this consumption-based computing market, if you will. And I'll be interested to see how this plays out for them and how aggressive they end up getting. I mean, HPE just announced their numbers the other day, and I found something interesting in there. GreenLake revenue jumped by 10% year over year. But there was a side note or a footnote in there that talked about, if you took away one big deal that happened this time last year, then GreenLake's revenue actually jumped 42%. That's a huge increase, right? So I have to think that Dell is starting to look at this. And I know Lenovo's TruScale has taken off as well, which is good for IT. It's good for the OEMs because they make a lot more margin. They're going to make a lot more money off of these offerings. And it's good for channel partners that can bundle a bunch of services around it. I have to think this is Dell's first step, but they're going to start getting a little bit more aggressive when it comes to the consumption-based computing market.
I think they'll get aggressive if the market grows. I look at Dell, I'll take a little bit different perspective from you, and say, I don't know that they need it in the way some of these other guys might. These guys dominate the infrastructure market, and they're making a ton of money doing it. On top of that, what are the workloads that HPE is selling on their GreenLake? Do you think there's a VMware license in there? And what are the margins?
Sure, but this isn't just tied to GreenLake, or this isn't just tied to VMware, right?
I understand, but I don't think...
So think,
I don't know. I think if I look at still, I don't know that they're saying I'm losing revenue here. I think they're saying I'm looking at this market a little differently. If you want to as a service, go to the public cloud and we'll help you and we'll bridge it. And we're not 100% convinced that on-site as a service, you know, despite all the OPEX, CAPEX benefits, is the play for us. So I think they're putting their toe in it because it's a very different business model than they're
used to.
So
think about this for a second, okay? Go ahead. Because you just said this a minute ago, that Dell dominates in the infrastructure market, right? What's their market share in servers?
You tell me you're the server guy. 30%?
No, it's about 23%. So that's, you know, they're a few points up over HPE, and they've widened the gap, but nobody dominates infrastructure. Nobody. That's the thing, right? I mean, you know, you have 100% of the market is, you know, the top five vendors in the server market make up about 50% of market share, and the rest is small players, white box, ODM, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? I don't think there's while they have all the momentum, I don't think there's a dominant player in a market that is so fractured and fragmented. I'd be kind of curious to see, you know, this might artificially show them as having greater market share because HPE ends up quote unquote selling fewer servers or Lenovo does. But
fair enough. I mean, once I put the word analyst on my business card, I feel like gives me permission just to make some talk.
No, because you have a really relevant point in that they own all the momentum right now, without a doubt. And while others contracted or were pretty flat, they've been growing very strong, leveraging EMC and VMware.
But I think they're being pragmatic. And if you look at somebody like Dell Technologies with its portfolio, how much can you do at once, even the size that they are, right? They're doing product refreshes across the board, right? They got the mid-range.next storage stuff coming out anytime now. They just did the, you know, whatever they're doing on the server side. And VMware is doubling down on how do I enable cloud, multi-cloud, Kubernetes, and all of these other things, right? These are distractions that their competitors don't have. And while HPE is growing GreenLake at impressive, we talk about this every time we see double-digit percentage growth, right? Is what's that number that we're starting from, right? It's still a small market compared to everything.
But you know what though? The margin, what do you make when you sell a server as far as margins go? 10 to 20% for richly configured, right?
Maybe some services on top of that.
And that's, but for your standard rack server, that's, you know, just providing, you know, directory services or, you know, kind of line of business support. You know, you typically are not, you're not seeing great margins on that, right? It's a barely configured server that goes out and the enterprise that buys it, images it, throws it into a rack, right? So you don't necessarily see as much on margin on those servers. And this is where I think the consumption-based is very good for OEMs, right? So maybe I end up selling fewer servers, but man, the amount of money I make when I lease that server out, and I know they hate to call it a lease, right? So maybe technically it's not, but they
can't call it a lease because then it does become CapEx.
But for all intent and purposes, it is, right?
But here's what we know, what we hear, right? Is, and nobody's going to say this publicly, so I'll be careful how I word this, but the commitments on the pay as you go extend just past the point where the hardware is paid for, right? So what it really is, they're selling a server with deferred revenue.
Yes.
So they're spreading out the payment. I mean, you're right. It's a lease that pays for the car.
Yeah, but those margins go through the roof compared to what they're making now. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But you also have to ask yourself, if I'm not in that business and I don't know the answer to this, right? What are the startup pains to get into that business? And Dell, I think, has taken a measured approach. When they first put their toe into this market, it was very much MSP-driven, right? So let's enable our partners. We, Dell, gets kind of the same benefit without having to go understand how to build that business and making those investments. So, you know, not necessarily a bad approach, but, very, very, very early days, I think, in this whole.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. I'll be, it'll be fun to watch how how Dell responds to this. I like their approach. I like their more measured approach. But I wonder if, you know, they sit back and look at some of these numbers and go, oh, that's kind of, you know, there's opportunity here. And it's like we talked about with, you know, with some other companies that have kind of moved into perpetual licensing, if you will, right? You look at it in the software industry, you know, you see one side of the ledger go down a little bit, but the other side starts to build up over time. And eventually, you know, you equal out from a revenue perspective, but your margins are so much better on the other side.
Okay, but we're only talking about this because we're talking about VMworld, where Dell announced their cloud data center as a service, which I'll read right off the slide. It's VMware Cloud on Dell EMC in limited availability. It's U.S. only. It's not global, probably because of the, you know, they have to go build some infrastructure. VMware, surprise, is their preferred partner for, Dell EMC is VMware's preferred partner for data protection. Fully managed by VMware and Dell Tech. You can get in a half rack or a full rack. I don't know what that translates to in terms of capabilities. And then, of course, your VM Cloud control plane.
Hey, what do you think about the acquisitions they announced of Carbon Black and Pivot?
I think let's buy some features so we don't have to go build them ourselves. I think they're good, but not remarkable.
The Carbon Black one, though, in particular, I heard a statement made by somebody from VMware talking about how, and I think it's the CEO of Carbon Black talked about how this acquisition was going to enable VMware to leapfrog the Palo Altos of the world, and how now Symantec and, you know, some of these other big security players are in VMware's, you know, crosshairs, which is a bold statement to make, but I think it's pretty smart to, you know, in a world where, you know, VMware is starting to, you know, find itself being utilized, deployed, managed in, you know, the non-traditional data center environments out onto the edge and the cloud, et cetera, et cetera. I think the investment in security and the acquisition of, you know, companies that solely focus on security is a pretty smart thing for them. I mean, both from a technology and from a message to the world perspective too.
Oh yeah. And yes. And every time that you and I talk to an IT end customer, CIO or whatever, it's all about data protection, right? What that means, quick recovery, or in Carbon Black's case, right? As I understand it, you know, they're watching your traffic and detecting malicious stuff in real time from a cloud endpoint. So, yeah, I mean, a couple of things. Yeah, that's fantastic technology to have into my cloud portfolio. But, man, if I were a cloud security company right now, I'd be a little nervous about that, too.
For sure.
If VMware shares what they say it is on cloud, if I was a cloud guy, for example, that just went over to a security company, I'd be like, well. Yeah. But, you know, it's a healthy market, lots of money.
There was a lot. I forget. There was a, and I can't remember where I saw it, but I saw I think it was Intel, actually, at an Intel event. They put up a slide, a chart that showed all of the different security players, the security solutions ecosystem, and it broke up by hardware, software. And services companies. And I could not, I mean, it was literally in the hundreds, the number of players in that space, which is just, you know, it tells you how rich that market is. But, you know, anyway.
I hear you. So the other, I'm just scrolling through the announcements, see if anything is notable. Dell says what they're being asked for most for Dell Tech Cloud is support for Kubernetes, more choice in cloud partners. I don't know that we saw new announcements. They're pretty well engaged, I think, across the board with the public cloud guys. And they're being asked for more flexibility in consumption models, which is your pay-per-use and your as-a-service.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's that kind of goes in line with, you know, they did the Tanzu launch. Is it how you pronounce it? Tanzu? And then
I don't know. What is Tanzu?
So Tanzu is a Well, this is where the beauty of being ambiguous, it's both a beautiful thing and a hard thing, right? So they talk about Tanzu and Project Pacific as tools that help in the creation, management, deployment, and overall kind of lifecycle support for container environments. And I had a hard time kind of separating where Pacific ended and Tanzu began. But, you know, you said something about how Gelsinger, you know, talked about, you know, just make things easy. IT doesn't have to worry about it anymore. That's how this product launch and these projects were described. But I couldn't find, you know, as much detail. I'm sure there's a briefing deck somewhere that I didn't get, yeah. But it's geared specifically around, you know, making ESX a better, more compatible platform for containerized environments, and then all of the tool sets that help an IT organization manage that all up virtualized and containerized environment.
So speaking of virtualized and containerized, I'm going to speed us along here because we've been talking a long time. There was an announcement with VMware in NVIDIA where NVIDIA released a virtualizable GPU for machine learning that's all supported by VMware in the cloud, right? So, you know, before this week, if you wanted to run machine learning in the cloud, you needed a bare metal instance and a dedicated GPU. Now, VMware and NVIDIA came together and said, let's figure out how to share the GPU, just, you know, another data point about machine learning in the enterprise. I'm scrolling through what they talked about. So day one, this is, you know, the keynotes, I think, illustrate where VMware sees critical market inflection points. So for them, no surprise here, it was all about cloud, mobile, networking, and security, with quite a bit on AI and edge, certainly containers, hybrid cloud. And then there were six solution-specific keynotes that they did on Monday. This was kind of new, I think. So they talked about what's after HCI. I think the market, you know, HCI is evolving a little bit. In the enterprise space, it's a little more disaggregated. It's not the appliance model that you see out at the edge. They had a keynote just on security and cloud. They had a keynote just on Kubernetes. They had a keynote on digital workspace, which is boring.
It's boring.
I don't care about end user computing. I'm sorry for all the IT guys out there. But a desktop's a desktop, whether it's coming from cloud or not. You can tell me I'm wrong. My email is matt@datacentric.com. There were a lot of announcements on Tuesday about their virtual networking, and we don't talk a lot about this because this is, you know, largely buried technology. Yeah. But if I'm building a virtual infrastructure, my ability to virtualize my SAN and my WAN become critical. And VMware's offering there is called NSX, and they added, you know, I don't want to walk through them, but they added just a ton of new capabilities there. There was a lot of, you know, air quote AI driven tuning and decision making now that's going to be baked into NSX. A lot of security features. So here's where they did make an announcement. They have NSX App Defense, which uses carbon black technology. There's some NSX Kubernetes stuff, Tanzu. What else? So a lot of that. They also announced, did they announce this or they looked at it? Anyway, ESX on ARM.
They demoed it actually on stage.
And this one's exciting too, for us geeks. Cross cloud vMotion. Do you remember when we couldn't vMotion across two revs of a processor? Now we're vMotioning from Azure.
How crazy is that, dude?
Actually, what they're doing with cross cloud vMotion, now that I read this, I didn't attend this, so I'm just reading this off the recap email. They showed a live migration across Azure IoT to AWS IoT for edge, right? So if I'm migrating workloads from the edge and back,
kind of neat, dude. It's I'll tell you what, it's a brave new world. It's funny, you know, because you mentioned that, you know, back in the day, even doing live migration across two revs was, you know, problematic or impossible. I mean, how far has the market moved? I feel like a dinosaur when I hear this stuff.
Right. And we were doing this, it was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. Or 12 years ago, we were worried about two revisions of an AMD processor stopping vMotion. And
hey, you know, one last thing to talk about, or maybe not last, but I certainly want to throw this out there. And it was something that was announced and everyone, it didn't get as much attention, but I think it's kind of interesting and it speaks a lot to where VMware sees the kind of sees their strategic bets being placed. And that is, you know, Ray O'Farrell moving from being a CTO of VMware to moving into this position where he's overseeing all of their cloud native development, right? And that includes the Tanzu stuff we were talking about. Mm-hmm. To me, because you get it, Ray is like, he's the dude, right? At VMware.
Oh, yeah.
So the fact that they've moved him into this role, this cloud native role, right? Supporting this Tanzu portfolio tells me that they're putting some huge bets and they understand where they have to, you know, get their focus and build up a strong portfolio as quickly as possible. So I thought that was a pretty telling move. I think it's a smart move, but I thought it was telling at the same time.
Oh, it was also an awesome moment if you weren't at the conference. So Ray was on stage giving a talk about something, a keynote. And Pat Gelsinger raises his hand and comes off the first row and says, "Oh, wait a minute. That's not your job anymore." And he promoted him right there on stage in front of everybody. And then he turns to this guy, Greg Lavender, and he says, "Hey, we have a CTO opening now. The job's yours." So he did two promotions right there on stage in front of 15,000 people in a live stream, you know, that rivals the Oscars. I think it was 3 billion people worldwide that tuned into the live stream. But what an amazing moment, and how great a manager. You know, I don't know how Pat is day to day with the rank and file, but how great a thing is that if you're Ray or even Greg?
It's a moment. That's pretty cool, man. But I think, you know,
I mean, I've been laid off publicly, but never promoted.
I've been fired publicly. Let's not use, you know, such kind words. I'm just kidding. But isn't that really cool, though? And I think that speaks a lot to kind of, more importantly, maybe where VMware sees the market going and where they maybe find that maybe they're a little bit softer and need to make sure that they're kind of appropriately positioned, right? I mean, yeah.
Sure, yeah. All right, so Matt, we've been rambling on now for about 40 minutes, and I think we've lost most of our listeners by now, so we should probably, you know, I'm getting
hungry, baby. Yeah.
So where are you off to next? I'm sorry, I just opened my recording window and saw what you named yourself. Where are we off to next? I'm coming your direction a week after next for Pure Accelerate.
Yeah, we have Pure Accelerate that week and the ARM Research Conference, both in Austin. So we'll be running between buildings to check out both of those shows and see what's going on and what's interesting out of both companies.
So I'm not going to the ARM Research Conference.
I can get you not just an invite. I can get you... Well, I guess, yeah, just an invite. Yeah, I can do that.
I'm not sure what I want, but I would like to. Man, yeah. I would love to go to that. And then ARM TechCon is later in
ARM
September.
ARM TechCon is later in September. We're going to the Cloudera Analyst Conference in ARM TechCon is in mid-October. Sorry. Cloudera is the week after that Pure Conference. We'll be heading up to New York City for that. Their analyst summit and there's a Red Hat summit coming up as well that we'll be attending. So we got a lot going on, man.
We do have a lot going on. Yeah. That's fantastic. What else do I have? Oh, in October, I'm going to something called Micron Insights in San Francisco as well.
You love San Francisco. So, I really used to love it.
I did too. And this time around, I didn't stay near Moscone. I stayed in an Airbnb on the edge of the Tenderloin, which is a gentrification and progress.
That's a good part of putting it in progress.
It was an easy walk. It was like a half a mile to the convention center, but it's not.
Some of the Tenderloin will never be gentrified. There.
And God bless them, because we need them. So, all right, Matt, I'm going to wrap this up. Let's play the fade out music, and we'll talk again in a week. How was that?
Yeah.